Blog Talk Radio.
And amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. So we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening by internet, you can call in. We are an interactive Bible study. You can call in and participate with the discussion
when the speaker opens the mic up for discussion. Amen. And if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Amen, amen, amen. This evening we are going with our regular scheduled destination, and that's Long Island, New York, with Pastor Dawn Nixon, who is an outstanding speaker and always has a word for the body of Christ. Amen. For those of you who are listening, again, if we have prayer, if you have a prayer request, please, you can chat it. You can send it on the chat line, or you can let us know, and we will do just that. Amen. We're here to pray for one another. We would like to also continue to lift up Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Georgia, Sister Jeanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, Brother Stuart Hawthorne from out of Ohio. We have a few other requests. We're not going to go on, but please, if you have a prayer request, please let myself or the speaker know, and we will do just that. Amen. Remember, prayer is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. Amen. We're going to move on over to Long Island, New York, with Pastor Dawn Nixon, and she's going to come forward in her own way. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Amen. God bless you. How are you, Elder Clay, and to all of those who are listening on tonight? We pray all is well with all of you. We're grateful to be online with you again. I'm asking that all of you would call someone, let them know that we are on the air. We believe that God has something to say that is relevant for today and relevant for the body of Christ. And so we believe that whatever we say, that we pray that everything that we say that will honor and glory our Lord and Savior, and that no flesh will glory in anything that we do in this interactive Bible study on tonight. If you would be so kind, we want to go forth in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for being such an awesome God. We thank you for being a great God. We thank you for being a healer, a deliverer. God, we thank you because even in this time and season that we're going through in our life, in this country and in this world, one thing I realize that, God, you hold all of us in the palm of your hand. And so we do not fret nor do we fear the things that we see. But we know that, God, you're a God that will deliver us out of it all. And God, we're thankful tonight because we know that if you're watching over the sparrow, we know that you're watching over us. And so we pray tonight for many things that have taken place in the course of the last couple of years or so, and we're seeing things come forth today. We pray tonight that, God, you will touch and deliver the hearts and minds of your people. And God, as we go forth in your word, we pray that, God, you will let us say something that will be life-changing for those who are the hearers of the word. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Amen. So we're grateful to God for all of you who are here on the line. We have a word, I believe, from the Lord on tonight. And we're going to Matthew 6, 25 and 26. We will be reading other scriptures as well. But we want to start at Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Amen. And the word of the Lord says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I want to take a subject on tonight that is posed, a topic posed as a form of a question, because of people and where we are and times and our thoughts, and I want us to understand. But our subject and topic for today is, are we unsatisfied or are we ungrateful? Are we unsatisfied or are we ungrateful? One thing I realize is that there are many who may get this confused. They think because we are unhappy where we are in our life that we are ungrateful. But I don't believe many are ungrateful, but I believe there are many who are not satisfied. Not everyone is truly content with his or her life. And oftentimes we are unsatisfied and seek more for what we don't have and who we are. However, in scriptures, we are commanded to be content with all we have in life. Now, what you must understand is that God wants more for his people. That's why I have an understanding in 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that ye mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul shall prosper." And so what we must understand is that God does not have a problem with us being unsatisfied. But there is a problem of being ungrateful. When you should be content in the season you're in. Now, we have to understand that I can still be content but be unsatisfied, because I realize and recognize that there is more to God than the finite things that we see that
What happened?
Did we lose audio?
Yeah, something happened.
Actually, we cannot hear you.
I don't believe that. I believe. How is it possible that we have a God who has created all things, made all things, and he has more than enough of everything that he has made?
We're losing you, Pastor.
We limit ourselves to things that we don't have to limit ourselves to, because how is it possible that our God is so great and he's so large and he's so wonderful and he is so prosperous, yet still his children will have to have a limited mindset that wherever we are, that's where we're supposed to be and stay and never have any more than what we have? Well, what would be the purpose of God having all that he has to give to his children, especially when he lets us know in 3 John that he wants us to prosper and to be in health, even as our soul shall prosper? So let you understand that it is not the will of God for you to be sick. It is not the will of God for you to be poor and broken, living from paycheck to paycheck. It is not the will of God for you to put out of your home or your car to be repossessed. It is not the will of God for your children and your children's children to be in want. But it is the desire of God that you have more than enough. But we have to learn how to be content where we are, because sometimes we have to realize that God wants to see, how are you going to deal with the little that you have? Are you going to be grateful for the little you have? Or are you going to be ungrateful or constantly wanting more? The one thing I realized, the reason why I have what I have, I may not have as much as others, but I'm content with what I have, knowing that God is able to give me more than what I have. I'm not looking for anybody else's wealth. I'm not looking for anybody else's favor, but I'm looking for the favor of God that is specifically designed and has been specifically made and custom made just for me. And so what I believe that we have done, many of us, we get caught up and we get into what I call the left box. We are in what I
called the lockbox. We have locked ourselves out of the things of God that are so wonderful and the privileges of God's past. When I look at the world that God has the world that there are some people who have never been outside of their own neighborhood. And I believe that God has made such great creation that for us not to just look at it with our eyes on TV or in pictures or on the media sites, but I believe that God wants us to actually put our feet or place our feet on the ground where He has created and He has spoken into existence. So it is not that we have to be ungrateful, but what I believe is we can be in a place where we're unsatisfied, and I believe that God has more for us. And when we realize that we can't put ourselves in a box, not only not us, but we cannot allow people to put us in a box. One thing I've realized being in ministry, a lot of people do not consider ministry a job. They don't consider it to be something that people should be compensated for, not realizing that you are those who are in ministry have to live just like everybody else. I know they don't believe that you should be able to live a certain lifestyle. They want you to be what they call humbly poor and without. But if I am a child of God, I believe that God is my resource. And I believe that whatever God has for you as a child of God, I don't believe as children of God that we should be without. I don't believe that we, as children of God that we should be suffering and scrambling hand over fist trying to get what we need. Because we are the children of God. And if we are the children of God, we should be blessed. Like we are the children of God, I realize that if my father is a father who is of great wealth, that doesn't only mean my father is great wealth, but his children are of great wealth. Well, I want us to understand that I don't want you to get caught up in the lockbox. What happens in the lockbox is that we begin to get to a place where we continue to go in the same circle. And we never come out of the circle. As we get older, I'm at my job, I'm starting to watch some of the young people who are starting to go into college. And as they're going into college, I'm watching them. And as they come out of college, they then get jobs. And then when they get jobs, then they get homes and they get cars and they get all these different things. And these are some of the things that causes us to get into the lockbox. What do you mean? That we sometimes, because we are not content, we're not content, and we value or we judge our lives based on the lives of others who have been gone far before us. And so a lot of times we think we should be as equal as others who are before us, not realizing that we need to take it at our own pace. What do you mean, Pastor Dawn? I mean, a lot of times we go and we send what we don't have. That's somebody who's not content. That is somebody who may be ungrateful for what they have. And this is what we end up doing. We start picking our credit cards and we start buying things of things that are not of necessity. And we put ourselves in a place where we have locked ourselves in a box because now we have become slaves to a credit card. We have become slaves to a job. We have become slaves to a bill. And we are not able to be free or to experience the things that God has in this world for us. Now, I understand that a lot of times we say, well, we have to put all the things that we're going through today and all the things that we're facing today. Why would you pull out a subject like this? I'm pulling out a subject like this is because I realize that even though in the midst of the storms that we are in, that we have to be in a position as a people of God, not as a race, as a people of God, because God does not see color, God sees his children. And whatever God created, he said it is good. And so when I look at us, we have put ourselves in a lockbox, not being able to free ourselves and be able to help others because we have not been able to help ourselves because we have locked ourselves in. Right? So, well, I want to be able to help other people. I want to be able to witness to other people, but I'm in a place where I'm financially not able to do it, number one, or I do not have the time to do it, number two, because of where I am and the situation that I'm in. And I'm not content, but I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because I want to do ministry and I want to do what the Lord has called me to do, but I'm not able to do that because I'm locked in. Well, what I want to put towards you today is that God is a God that can free you out of your lockbox, but there has to be a move that you have to make, because what we must understand is that the box that we put ourselves in, it wasn't the box that God gave you to be in. And so we have to take the limits off of ourselves. God has not limited us. God has not been the one who's put us in a place where we cannot see further than where we are. And so when I look at my situation, I said, God, you have to do something to get yourself out of this lockbox. There's some things that you have to change, and there's some things that you're going to have to alter with yourself. There's some sacrifices. That's a word that we don't like to hear. There are sacrifices that we have to make in order for us to be blessed. And a lot of times, the things that we have to sacrifice are the things that our flesh desires, but our flesh does not need. Amen? So when I look at that, I started looking at myself, and I started seeing that I was chained by the same of life that was causing me not to be able to move further in ministry, because I'm chained to cars. I'm chained to time, and I'm just limited in what I can do. And I said, God, there has to be more, because there is a witness in my mouth that I have to speak to others. I like that. There's a witness in your mouth that you have to share with others, and it may not just be on this continent. There is other places that God wants you to go to, and he says, I want you to be prosperous and be in help. Okay, let me help you. In order for me to go to the places that God needs to take me to, I have to be financially stable. That's number one. I have to be able to make sure that I can go where I need to go to spread the word of the Lord or to share something with someone else. And I don't have to worry about my house. I don't have to worry about other situations. And the other thing I need to make sure is that I'm helpful. That I need to make sure that wherever I go, that it's not a struggle with my health to get there. It is not a problem with me being able to witness, because a lot of times, I use this example all the time, because whenever I fly out, a lot of times we don't pay attention to the stewards because they're giving us instructions on how we need to make sure if there is an urgency or an emergency with the plane. If a tragic situation may appear, they let you know what you have to do if anything happens while we're in the air. And the one thing they tell you, that your oxygen mask is going to drop from the ceiling. And if you are with someone else, they say, you must first take the oxygen mask and cover yourself. And then you would have to cover someone else. Why? Why is that important? It's important that you need to take care of you first, because you can't take care of nobody else if you're unconscious. And this even goes into spiritual notes. We want to take care of everybody else, but we're not spiritually fit to handle it. And so therefore, when we're not spiritually fit to handle it, then we need to understand that I need to make sure that I am in a healthy place, that I'm in a place where God can use me, not only mentally and spiritually, but God needs to be able to use me even in a physical manner. And so what we have to understand is that when you see people who, I know oftentimes we complain. We complain about a lot of things. That is the nature of the human man, is that we complain about a lot of things. But I realize that people, there are some people that I know, they complain, but when they have to get the job done, they may have a complaint, but they get up from where they are and they make sure that they have to take care and they do what they need to take care of. Because they realize it doesn't make no difference how long you sit there and complain about what you don't have or what is hindering you from getting your job done. You take care of your family, take care of yourself, and take care of the needs of God's people. And so it's not that we're unhappy or we're not content or that we're in a place that we're ungrateful, but we have to deal with the frustrations of being unsatisfied. Let's talk about that. The frustrations of being unsatisfied. Sometimes the frustration can disguise itself as being ungrateful, but the frustration is a wear and tear. But you have to realize that frustration is good, because what frustration does, it pushes you, it leads you to want to do better, it shows you that there is more than what you have, and there is so much that God has for you. And if you're frustrated enough, then you'll change some things in your life. And so sometimes you have to get frustrated. Sometimes you're going to have to get angry. See, because if I get frustrated enough in that lockbox, I'm going to do something to get myself out of the lockbox. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get out of this ongoing cycle that I put myself in and realize that now I can move to the next level of what God has for me. I'm not jealous of what anybody else has, but what I do know is that where I am, there's more to me than what I have. Now, you have to realize that it's hard for those who are in the kingdom. It's hard for those who are in the kingdom of God, who have relationships with God, and know God's capability to be a person who is average. What I mean by that, I'm accepting of whatever is before me, not knowing or knowing that God has more. Our God, when we describe the kingdom of God, we describe God's kingdom as and God having cattle on the thousand hills, streets shaded with gold, pearly gates. Now, I'm trying to figure out, how do we have a God like that, but yet and still, we're supposed to live in this criminal? No, I can't have a God who is a God like that and still work to have the mindset to live average. We've got to come up, people of God, because there is a people who are in need. There are those, as I look at our society today, I'm so hurt. As I look at the situation, I have to deal with the situation in Virginia, because it is a part of our soil. We have to realize that the Bible says, and I shared this with our church on Sunday, that when we deal with our land, the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We have to realize that our land is sick. Our land needs to be healed. And if you really just take the time to touch yourself, when he's talking about land, he's talking about you, because you were made from the dust of the earth. But when I touch myself, I realize that I am a part of land. I'm a part of God made that. He made us out of the very dust of the earth and created us, formed us out of the dust of the earth. And this particular land, I mean, we're talking about land, we're talking about people within this, on this earth, who have the mindset. We've got to understand we have to love one another. And a lot of times, the reason that these outbreaks have taken place is because people are frustrated. They're frustrated because this ongoing circle happened in my grandmother's time. It happened in my mother's time, my grandmother's time, my great-grandmother's time, and I'm sure my great-great-grandmother's time. But we've been dealing with an ongoing cycle. And when I tell you that, when you come out of the box and realize that there is more up to God and there's more to life than what people want to put you in, no. We are all a part of this land, and all deserve what this land, what God has created for all mankind. And so I'm very hurt by what I have seen, and I have to, we as people of God have to pray. We have to pray because we are unsatisfied as people of God. We should be unsatisfied with the things that we see. We should be unsatisfied because it's not not all about just prospering. It's not all about, but there should be a frustration that we have because I'm not satisfied where our country is. I'm not satisfied with the way the world is turning. But I believe that when we turn our face back to God, then God is going to turn things around for us. And so we have to be unsatisfied with where we are as a people. We have to be unsatisfied with where society has gone. But we have to call on the name of Jesus. One thing I realize is that prayer always works. And it doesn't matter what country you're in. It doesn't matter what generation you come from. Prayer has always worked. And so prayer has worked from yesterday till today. God is a God. He says, I don't change. I change not. And the God that I was on yesterday is the same God I am today. And if I took care of your forefathers on yesterday, I will take care of you today. And so that's why I'm not so much concerned, but I am frustrated. I'm not concerned about the outcome because I realize that I may not, and I share this with our church too, I may not win every battle, but I will win the war. And God knows that we are have been in a war, not only a war physically as we see this took place, but we have to realize this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness and high places. And we have to realize that there is a spirit that has come on the earth of wickedness that has been hovering over the earth, and now it has decided to stick its head up. But I come to let the devil know tonight that he does not have power over us, and he does not have power over his people. So we're coming out of the box as children of God, and we are about to set forth a trip, and we are about to set forth a place where we are going to go into a place where we're about to make things happen and make things change. Because when we pray, can I tell you, when we pray, it makes the enemy back up. Because the enemy cannot be in the presence of where God is and not reverence him. But even when you realize, when we talk about when God considered Job, the Bible says that God and the angels had come together and the sons of God had come together, and all of a sudden Satan shows up because he had nothing to do. He had nothing to do. So God gives him an assignment. Notice that the enemy can't do anything unless he is allowed by God. So when we look at the situations that we see that are happening, he can give illusions, but he cannot touch you. Even when we look at when he told Satan, Satan, he gave him instructions of what he could and could not do to Job. He said, you can touch his surroundings, you can touch, but you cannot touch his soul. You can even touch his body, but you cannot touch his soul because that belongs to me. And he realized that you may get afflicted. The Bible never said that you will never get sick. The Bible never said that you never be without. But what we do realize is that when God has allowed you to be put in a situation, when God puts in the enemy on assignment for you, it's because he knows that you can handle the assignment that is coming towards you. And so I want us to get to a place where we're frustrated. We're frustrated, but not ungrateful. But I want us to understand your frustration, it's all right to be unsatisfied. And I want you to tell you that it's okay. You're just unsatisfied. It's all right to be unsatisfied because when you're unsatisfied, what it does is motivate you to want more from God because God has so much more than what we see. We are limiting ourselves spiritually because God will open up his revelation to us. You ought to get frustrated to the point where you get so hungry and thirst after God's righteousness. I want to live right. I'm frustrated not being able to walk according to the way I wanted to because my flesh keeps bumping into me and keeps trying to alter me because when I look at the situation, we want to do what our flesh has called us to do. But God said, no, I've made you a royal priesthood. You're not like everybody else. And so since I'm not like everybody else, I want to be able to walk according to the will of God without being uncontent. I don't want to be in a place where I don't see God and where I don't know God and I don't have a relationship with God. So true, that frustration can be even in those areas where we are unsatisfied with our spiritual growth. You got to want more in every area of your life, and you must be balanced with every area of your life. It's not just about finances. It's not just about the physical. But you ought to be in a place where I'm not satisfied just being an average Christian.
Amen.
But I want more from God. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else in here that needs to chime in on the frustration of being unsatisfied, wanting more? And that doesn't make you a selfish individual. It just makes you a person who understands that God has so much more to offer you. Why not tap into the things that what God has to offer instead of just being in a place of average? Because one thing I realized is that when you know more, you'll do more. A lot of times we are limited because we have a lack of knowledge. And that's why so many people who are lost because we're lacked in knowledge. And so we ought to have a hunger and thirst. I'm not satisfied just being just knowing John 3:16. I want to know more than just John 3:16 or Psalms 100. There's more out there for the children of God. So I'm going to ask you. We're going to open up the line tonight. I want some of you to share some of the frustrations that you may be in. Being unsatisfied, or do you consider that to be being unsatisfied? Am I unsatisfied, or am I ungrateful, or do I not know the difference? Anybody that wants to just come in and share with us maybe a situation where you've been frustrated and unsatisfied, and maybe people may have thought you were ungrateful. Is there anybody on the line that wants to share with us on tonight? Amen.
Amen. Anybody? All right. So I want us to understand, for those who may be listening, I don't know who's on the air with us on tonight, but I believe that there should be more that we should want in Christendom and not be satisfied with just a mediocre lifestyle. And there's so much more that God has for you. I'm going to go and read a few more scriptures so that we can see how God really wants us to be able to yet be content but not be so in a place where we're so satisfied that we don't want more from God. Philippians 4:12-13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, or whether living in plenty or in want. But I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Or your Bible may say, I can do all things through him gives me strength. So when you look at this, you're able to conquer a lot of situations that you're in. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be in a place where I needed shelter. And there's some of you who may be on the line tonight that say, okay, I've been in a place where I know what it is to live without. And yet still, I was content because of where I was in that season. But I was frustrated enough to get myself out of the place that I'm in. If you're a person who's ever been in a place where, I'm going to be a little transparent. I remember when I was in my younger years and I was just, I just had my daughter and I was married and everything. And we were young. We had no money. We were broke, like most people who may have started out. And I had to end up going on welfare to help me get out of the situation, to help us, because we were in need. We didn't have enough money. And so I realized that where I was
like this forever because what I had was not enough. It helped me get to where I needed to go. But I realized at some point in time I had to come out of that because God had more for me. And so I dealt with the frustration of where I was. I was grateful for what I had. But I said, okay, then I have to do something to make sure that I can get more, not only for me, but for my family and for my children. And so when you get to the place when you say, okay, you're content and satisfied, and you get yourself in a place where you're living just an average lifestyle, God said, I don't want that for you. He said, I want you to have more. I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is to be without. Amen?
Okay.
So verse 5 in Hebrews 13 and 5, Hebrews 13 and 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Okay, let's stop right here.
Because a lot of times
people get so caught up. And this is where I'm talking about the part of being ungrateful. We never have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to understand that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
And what we have to also understand is that even one thing I realize is that even if I don't have what I want to have, I've never been without because God has never forsaken me. Just like the Bible says, I have never seen the righteous nor forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. One thing I know is that even if I'm not where I want to be, I realize that I'm not forsaken. I know that I'm not without. I know that God is not doing. I know that I'm not without. So therefore, when we get to a place where we understand that what we have, we can be content, yet still we are going to have more when we put ourselves in line with the will of God and the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So those who are out there listening, I'm going to open up the lines again, and I want you to be able to share. I'm not sure, can you hear me out there? Can anybody hear me out there?
Amen, amen.
Your microphone is a little distorted. We hear you. It's a little distorted. If you could adjust it
a little
bit better.
Distant from me as well.
To her.
Can you hear me now?
The,
okay.
It's just better.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. That's much better.
All right. Okay, because I couldn't hear y'all either. All right.
Oh.
So when we get to the, my phone keeps going in and out of my speaker. So I want us to understand it's all right to be frustrated. And I'm hoping that people are grasping what I'm saying because people have to understand that you can't have a God this big and live so little.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's a good word. You can't have a God this big and live an average life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to understand there are certain things that we need to do in the kingdom of God, and we can't do it without. We have to realize every level in our life. I realized that what I was doing at the age of, I guess, 19, the age of 19, there should be some level of growth in me mentally, physically, spiritually. There ought to be some level of growth, all right? Because if you're still in the mindset of where you were at 19 and you're in your 40s and 50s,
my God,
we've got a problem.
My God.
Because I should not be making the same amount of money, and I'm not saying that this doesn't happen, that you don't go up and down in levels. But know your worth, know your value. See, you could be making, back in the day, we may have made $5-$8 an hour, all right? And then when we're in our 40s and 50s, we've gone through experience. Watch this. Some people may have never gone to college, but they have the experience. And because they have the experience, their value on the job is worth as much as those or more than those who have gone to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have had the experience on the job. So so you have to understand, somebody said, well, I really don't know this and I really don't know that. But when you've been a person who's been on that particular job for a certain amount of years, I've been on my job for 17 years, never went to school for it. I did on-the-job training. I've been at this working in dentist office for all these years. But now, watch this, I find myself teaching those who are in school but don't have the experience.
Wow.
Mm.
And what they've learned on paper, I've been doing physically all these years. Now, watch this. Sometimes we people think you can't teach them anything because you don't have this, you don't have a degree, you don't have that. But one thing, I don't know if anybody ever saw that movie, Something the Lord Made.
Yes.
And it was about the blue baby.
Yes.
And it was about the doctor who never went to college, but he was the doctor's assistant for so many years. And a lot of, they didn't want to hear him because, first of all, he was an African-American.
Right.
But after a while, he had more knowledge than those who were at the school who were learning how to do this surgery for the blue babies for their heart. And so the thing is that even though they didn't want to hear him, they had to because he had the experience. He didn't have the degree, but he had the experience. And here he is teaching those who have their doctorate degrees, their PhDs, and all these different things, but they had to learn from someone who was on the job training. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against anybody who, and I push education. But one thing I realized is that when you are a child of God and you have experience with God, you know for a fact that putting yourself in a box is limiting yourself. And the only reason why you're limiting yourself is because you put the limits on yourself, not God. Because God lets us know that I want you to have more. So if God's saying to me, I want you to have more, why are we always trying to accept less? Because I realize we have to be in a place where we get frustrated to the point where we'll change things for us. And this society, and I believe we're getting to that point where we're getting frustrated till we are going to change things until it works in our favor. We're not going to let down. We're not going to give up. Our forefathers were frustrated until they made something happen. All right?
Yes.
So don't be content in everything. What I'm saying to you, you don't have to be content in certain things in life because at certain point in time in life, you've got to move from that place to the next place. And while I was content here, I can still be content with more room. Amen?
Amen.
So it is mankind that limits us, not God. So God wants you to be content with the system that you're in. And not the and know that every level goes higher and higher, and there's more for you. Amen?
Yes.
So is there anybody else that's on the line who've experienced the frustration of just being content but not satisfied? Because you can be, I'm content in my singleness, but I'm not satisfied.
Amen.
Because I realize that there is more for me. And just because I'm single doesn't mean I got to stay single for the rest of my life. I can't hear nobody out there.
Amen.
Somebody said you should just be satisfied where you are and when
you're
the right one. And I'm sure he is. But while I'm waiting, I deal with the issues of being frustrated, yet and still, I can still be unsatisfied. But I will wait on God. Because a lot of times, We also have to be careful with our frustration, because a lot of times we can make the wrong move. Because whenever you get to a place where you're trying to alter and change some things, you better consult God before you make a move.
That's good.
Talk.
That's good.
And the reason why we get stuck into another trap or in another box is because we got out of the place where we did not consult God in our frustration.
Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm.
And we ended up with something that we never really wanted in the first place. Because somebody said, well, you too picky. Why don't you just get this car? This car going to take you from point A to point B. Well, I don't want a car to take me to point A to point B. Maybe I want the car to take me from point A to point B to point C to point D. And so the problem is we go for the situation and we deal with we take out of the need that we're in right now.
Right.
You got to look into the future. You can't just look at where you are. See, because one thing I realized is that, oh, that's great. Now I can get, my car can take me from here to my job and back. Well, the problem is that there are other places that you need to go to besides your job and back. So that makes you frustrated. That makes you unsatisfied. And it's all right to be unsatisfied. So that's why whenever we're unsatisfied with something in our life, the first thing we do is we go to God, and this is what we should do, is go to God and pray, say, Lord, I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for the food that's on my table. If it's nothing but eggs and bacon, if it ain't nothing but Cheerios that I'm eating tonight, I'm grateful for it. Amen. But I don't believe that you have to eat Cheerios every night for the next 10 years of your life.
Amen.
That's right. Both.
That's right. That's good.
How frustrating is that going to be? Watch this. You have a grocery store full of all kinds of stuff. Thank you, Jesus. You got a grocery store full of all kinds of stuff, but you only limit yourself to the aisle of the cereal, of cereal and milk. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because God says, I have a big store, and my storage is full. But
that's
you're limiting yourself to only one area for your life.
Wow.
When I have more than enough.
That's good.
Yes. More than enough.
When I look at my God and what my God possesses, yes, I'm unsatisfied. I'm not ungrateful, but I'm unsatisfied because God has aisles and aisles and aisles of things, of blessings for me. But I've limited myself to aisle five.
Wow.
And God's saying, look, I have other areas for you. The only reason why you're still staying in this one area is because you choose to. You don't have to. Can I tell you, you can be content in other aisles? You can be content in other areas. You can be content in other states. You can be content in other lands. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
So know this, that it's all right to get a ticket to fly to Hawaii. It's what God created. See, it's one thing to see it on TV and another thing to see it on a computer. How about touching it for yourself?
Yeah, that's good.
How God give us all this creation and we don't even know half, not even close to half, because we limit ourselves. Watch this. Some of us limit ourselves because of fear. I ain't going on no airplane. I hate to tell you, you can't take a train to England. You can't take a train to India.
Amen.
You're going to have to fly across the water. And don't let fear stop you from getting the blessings of God.
Amen.
Don't let fear stop you and leave you in a place of frustration and a place of being unsatisfied because you're too scared to go after what God has.
Amen.
So I'm taking the limits off of you tonight.
Amen.
I'm taking the limits off of you to let you know, guess what? You are able. you are well able to get the things of God. The one thing is when we sing our song in our church, our God is big. He's strong and he's mighty. And if he's strong and he's mighty, I don't care where you go. I went to Africa, and can I tell you how many people tried to discourage me from going to Africa? And I say this all the time, a place they've never been.
Wow.
But they tried to stop me from going because they gave me all the bad stories that they heard.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they experienced, but that they heard.
Right.
Okay? So now, if I don't go, I'm going based and I'm limiting my life on off of something somebody heard and not what they know.
That's good.
So I make a conscious decision to step out because somebody else said, who's been there, says, it's not like what you heard. So am I going to go by what other people have heard, or am I going to go by somebody who's experienced it themselves?
Amen.
And I decided to step out and go on the experience and not on what somebody heard.
Right.
Why did you say that, Pastor Dawn? The reason why a lot of you have lost out on a lot of things in your life is because I heard.
Sure.
Sure, he ain't no good. I heard he's such and such and such and such. She ain't no good. I heard she's such and such and such. But you've never had the opportunity to step out and experience and know that individual for yourself.
Amen.
So watch this. You've lost out on a good friendship. Because I heard.
Wow.
And what That's I realized good. Is that you'll know better when you've experienced it for yourself. Let me tell you something. If somebody told me that church ain't all of that, you don't have to do all of that, you ain't got, why you going to that church? And I know some of y'all have heard stuff like that. Why you want to turn your life? We can go to the club. We can do this. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this. You missed out on the things of God, the beauty of God, the strength of God, the protection of God, because somebody said, you don't need to do that.
Right.
Yeah. See, you got to look at the things that you're losing because you're not frustrated enough to go after it. I'm done. But I pray that somebody receives something out of this word on tonight. And I pray that you will really grasp hold as people of God. There are so many places. I want you to get frustrated enough. I want you to, because frustration is what causes the baby to be birthed.
That's true.
That's good. Amen.
Frustration is what causes, when that baby gets tired of being in and being, look, the baby is content for a good little while.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But as the baby starts growing, the baby becomes uncomfortable and says, I got to get out of here because I need more room.
Right.
Yes.
And so because the baby needs more room, the baby is not satisfied staying in the womb.
That's it.
Because the baby realizes that it has to grow up. It has to move.
Sure.
You can't be 20 years old still staying in the body.
Amen.
You're not going to fit.
Amen.
You're not going to fit. So everybody realize the reason why you have to get frustrated and the reason why you have to be unsatisfied because you're not going to be able to stay where you are because you're not going to fit. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay, and he's going to give us last words, and he's going to dismiss us. Amen.
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 Amen. And we do thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Even though that we had technical difficulties when we started off, sometimes we have to just be still and let God do it his way. So we did it, and that's the way it worked out. So we do thank you for tuning in. Those of you that are listening by internet, keep in mind we're an interactive Bible study. You can call in at any time and participate. We do thank Pastor Mixon. Each and every time she comes on, she has a word for the body of Christ. And we do thank her for that. We are out of time, and we're going to close right now. So we do thank you once again, and keep in mind, every day is a new beginning. Thank you.